Change here, nothing's the same here in the kingdom. says Maine. This is Alto.
Alto, your mic is over here.
Glory. Good morning, everyone. Man, there's no laughter. It's, come on. Is there joy in the king's house? Or? Amen. Amen. You may be seated. You ever just like, I probably shouldn't ruin songs for you, but you hear songs. There's one song, and I won't tell you because it will ruin it. It's like I'm sitting back there just singing country because it's like a total like, well, Jesus. Anyways, that one is like my kind of rock, like, King's House. Glory. Sorry if I ruined that song for everyone. Glory. Oh, Jesus, help us. Amen. It's good to see everyone. Go right into the lesson this morning. Amen. It's good to see Katie here this morning. Katie Herod. Amen. 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 The soldiers all remained in their ranks, steadfastly standing at attention. If their legs hurt, they ignored the pain. If their arms ached, they gave no hint of discomfort. If a fly landed on their nose, they resisted the urge to shoo it away. They were all disciplined, but they seemed even more circumspect today. Their superior had demanded that every crease in their uniform be perfect and every weapon glisten in the sun. Today, the great General Napoleon would pass through their midst. The commanding officers hid any nervousness. If they could have held in the perspiration that beaded down their necks, they would have. They would have done nearly anything to please their commander-in-chief. Today was a day to stand out. But not in the wrong way. By lining up properly and adhering to every military protocol, the officers hoped they could advance in rank. If one of their comrades' regiments failed the test, they could take his position. Quiet ambition see through the army as each man, no matter his position, hoped to be the exemplar of the true warrior their general hoped to see. Napoleon rode on a great steed, inspecting the troops. They remained quiet and disciplined. Then the unthinkable happened. Something spooked Napoleon's horse. The beast writhed and bucked, attempting to dislodge the great general. All the officers and soldiers held fast to their positions, unsure of what to do. Then, seemingly out of nowhere, a soldier broke rank and came to the aid of his general. He seized the horse by the reins, calming the animal. With great respect, he held out the reins to Napoleon. Napoleon took them from the low-ranking soldier and simply said, "Thank you, Captain." Because the soldier saw a need and met it, he had advanced when others remained still, stuck to rituals and protocols. The story proves that timing is everything. Timing is everything. The soldier might have taken many years to reach the rank of captain, or he might never have achieved it. Timing made all the difference. The soldier's actions were not rash. They were born out of all the times the soldier had exercised patience through training, discipline, and following orders. Like him, we must serve the Lord patiently and wait for the opportunity to serve at a higher level. We must patiently trust God's timing for our lives. And we're going to continue on this month's theme, and the title of today is Wisdom Waits. Wisdom Waits. Let me see the hands of those who woke up with an alarm clock this morning. All right, some of you are just naturally can wake up. Help you, Lord. Who has more than one alarm clock? Okay. More than two? Who sets like a bunch of, yeah, I see the hands back there. How many do you have set? Like 10 at least. My word. I have two alarm clocks. Their names are Josiah and Malachi. One of these days I'm just going to be like, they'll wake me up and they're not going to, and I'll be late for church. But Malachi especially loves his dad in the morning. Appreciative of his love, but wish it wasn't in the morning. From his room, he'll start off as, "Dad, dad, 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 dad." Then it goes to, "I'm awake, Dad. I'm awake, Dad. Are you there, Dad? And literally, like, over and over nonstop. Are you there, Dad? Dad, where are you, Dad? Where are you, Dad? I'm ready, Dad. And it's like, and some Saturdays when we both can sleep in, we're like laying there, and I'm just like, I'm just going to ignore her. Hopefully she wake up. And then she's laying there like, honey, he's calling for you. Oh, yeah. And I'm not sure why 7 a.m. Malachi loves his dad so much, but he does. It's hilarious because when Fiona goes in there, he gives her grief and like, where's Dad? Our daily lives are governed by time. Those alarm clocks jolt some of us out of bed while others sleepily hit the snooze button to get a few more extra minutes. And I understand now how parents can ignore their children that are just being obnoxious in public, because it's like you just learn to, okay, I'm sleeping, I can tune this out. You know, some of us just do that. The early risers sip coffee peacefully while the sleepy heads resort to putting coffee in a to-go cup. Appointments, coffee breaks, lunch breaks, project deadlines, they all dictate most of our activities. Even when the clock signals the end of the workday, we know we'll have to do it everything all over again the next day. Plus, we may have to carve out more time for kids' practices, grocery shopping, meal planning, preparation. At the end of the day, we may ask ourselves, where did all the time go? Anybody been there? Amen. There are many idioms or phrases about time. Time flies, especially when we're having fun. We try to avoid being late by getting to work in the nick of time, or to church. This is the case of myself this morning. Sometimes we run out of time. Other times we have some spare time. Time and time again, we realize we need to make more time for God, family, and friends, yet we still have to work because time is money. We can waste time. We can kill time. We can have a whale of a time. Haven't heard that phrase in a long time. but we can have a hard time. When we have a hard time, we hope the saying is true that time heals all wounds. In the end, we know that only time will tell. Hopefully, we will figure out this time thing, because we can't turn back the hands of time no matter how hard we try. Someday we all will be out of time and faced with eternity. Ecclesiastes 3:1. Says this, it says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. This has been an oddball fall with February-like weather the past few days. It's been really annoying. But constant flurries and cold. But normally we've got a little more fall to us in Wisconsin. I love Wisconsin for that reason, our seasons. Amen. Soon it'll be blistering cold, but we know that muddy weather followed by rains and flowers will come around, and then those beautiful summer days, and then we'll get back to that crisp fall air that I love so much. Seasons. God orders the time and seasons for us. Since God is eternal, he is timeless. Time did not exist at the beginning of creation. Since God is an everlasting being not governed by time, time did not need to exist. In fact, for the first 3 days of creation, there really was not such a thing as time. It wasn't until the fourth day that the Lord created the sun as the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light, the moon, to rule the night. These lights allow there to be signs, seasons, days, and years. Although God did not need time, he knew his creation would. So we're governed by time, but we often fail to manage it as well as we should. Going to get an amen. Amen. While some succeed in the natural world, those same individuals may fail spiritually by neglecting eternal things. Lord, help us to manage our time spiritually. Amen. David wrote this in Psalm 90, verse 12. It says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This month we've been talking about wisdom. It's been fun trying to convey this concept to a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old this month. But for a seven-year-old who loves his facts, it's all about applying the knowledge. And that's how we've been trying to say it. It's like you have a lot of knowledge, but sometimes you're not applying it very well. One of the fun facts in the kids' devotional, if you're not doing this and you have kids, even if they're three, they're getting concepts and going through this. I'd encourage you to pick one up. But this week in the fun facts, which is Josiah's favorite day of the week, we learned that men on average look in the mirror 23 times a day, while a woman looks, any guesses, higher or lower? You're wrong. They look on average only 16 times a day. I'm waiting for him to use this fact to justify the joy he gets about looking at himself in the mirror. He's always like slicking his hair. Lord help my son. So we've been talking about wisdom, and we saw in Psalm 90 the connection between time and wisdom. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Wisdom helps us to differentiate between various seasons in our lives and to patiently wait for the right one. Solomon listed a number of seasons in Ecclesiastes 3, starting with the big picture of a time to be born and a time to die. Then others, like, there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. Listen, folks, if you just bought land, this is not the time to plant corn in Wisconsin. I don't know anything about planting, but I do know that. Don't plant corn right now. Amen. There's a time to plant, a proper time. And then we must patiently wait for the harvest to come. We can't rush it. Brother Bill Thorpe back there, he used to work for Rank Seed for many, many years. And I'm sure he could give us a whole lesson about planting and harvesting and having the wisdom to do those things in the right season. Different crops are different times. Amen. Sometimes we feel desperate for the produce our labors will bring, but God often allows his blessings to cultivate a bit longer to reward us greatly. And so we have to be patient and have wisdom in the wait. During times of struggle in our lives, we need time to heal. When things are broken down, we need to take time to mourn and give ourselves time to recover. It's okay to struggle. It's okay to need healing. It doesn't negate your relationship with God if you are broken from your past. It doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. It doesn't equate to when you are still processing through things that you're doing things wrong. It's okay. It may take time. But we must also realize we will build up again, dancing and rejoicing in the wonder-working power of God's restoration. There is a season. There is a time. Throughout all these seasons, the cycle of life continues. Sometimes we have great prosperity and a time of getting. Then life becomes difficult, and we experience a season of loss. We might be tempted to tear off our garments like they did in the Bible in times of loss and mourning, but in due time, we must pull ourselves together with the help of the Lord, family, and friends to realize it is a time to sew things back together. Amen. There are seasons in our lives, and wisdom helps us wait for the right season. Amen. And so we must willingly make the commitment to follow God's plan and will for our lives. Whether we think our timing is off or that the Lord has forgotten about us, while we're all pumped in the happy seasons of life, we cannot escape those negative times and seasons that affect us all. Perhaps they're not completely bad. Times of mourning are also times of remembrance. Although we feel sad at the loss of loved ones, we cherish all the special moments we had with them. Amen. We've also got to realize that different seasons of life are more easily recognized than others. On many occasions, we will feel in tune with the plan and will of God. In these wonderful times, everything seems to click perfectly, working in harmony. At other times, we may find ourselves struggling to discern the will and plan of God. While we should always examine ourselves to ensure we're following the Lord to the best of our ability, we must also realize we will all face times when God has chosen to be silent. Anyone ever experienced that where you're like praying and it's like, yeah, there's no answer? Yeah. There are those times. It might be a season that is a test of our faithfulness. We must continue serving him with all our might, waiting for that awesome time when he once again speaks a clear word into our lives. And there are times that we are so consumed with a desire for our lives that we can think that there is a word from God for us. And we take a scripture, we take something, and out of our own spirit, it's kind of like our own self makes it happen. And like, this is a word from, yes, I'm going to hold on to that, when maybe it wasn't God. And so, again, we need wisdom. We may interpret the word incorrectly. He may give us a word, but we interpret correctly. In our lives, I think it was a February. I don't remember the year, but I found out later that Fiona had gotten a word from God. We were in the midst of maneuvering through our infertility days, struggles, and question marks and confusion and monthly sorrow when you realize once again you're not pregnant. Every month is like that for me, thank the Lord. Sorry. I love when people say, we are pregnant. It's like, no, you, sir, you are not pregnant. Your wife is pregnant. Anyway, sorry. Whew, rabbit trail. But we were in the midst of maneuvering through those times, and Fiona was like Hannah of the Bible or Elizabeth or Sarah or so many others in the Bible that yearned for a child. It tore me up that I could not provide that solution because the issue was on my end. But it was another month, another cycle where the stress of life situation caused her to be late. Because of all everything going on, we had quite a few false hopes. And whereas normally she's a super, super regular. But this was extremely late, and she was praying, began to pray, and felt the Lord tell her that we were going to have a son, and his name was going to be Josiah. And she, out of that longing, she interpreted that God had answered our prayers, and she was pregnant because she was already late, and a miracle was about to take place. It was only just a matter of time for that conversation or that confirmation. Unlike other months, she was abnormally late, even longer, but she had that word of God. This is it. Thank the Lord. This couple year struggle is, you know, he's finally come through. I think it was almost 10 days or so. I remember I did not know all this was going on, but I remember that particular month because she was extremely late, and then she came. The cycle came, and we realized, nope, once again. And though I didn't understand everything, I knew there was their hurt and disappointment once again. I did not understand the extent of it. She was devastated. She was crushed. That was an extremely hard time for her in her faith and walk with the Lord. I didn't know the extent until months later when she was able to share with me about that month. Seasons will change, but we need wisdom as we walk through life, through these seasons. Because again, out of desperation, we may take something that we think is a word of God and run with it. We need wisdom in those times. We can't underestimate the importance of time. The saying, timing is everything, illustrates this key principle that governs the universe, our daily lives, and our eternity. We must appreciate God's timing and walk in it. And doing so is essential to a successful Christian's life. I've shared the end of our story many times. We heard a lot in our infertility journey. We struggled mightily, but we finally gave it to the Lord, and you know what? He was silent. That's right. Yeah, there was that one time for Fiona, but the rest of the time it was just silence, which was very difficult. No answers. It was just simply wait. And we could have taken things into our own hands. I've said this many times. We could have just gone out and fostered kids. We could have gone out into the adoption journey and just done it on our own. But in the midst of that, I don't know why, but we wanted to do what God wanted to do. And in the back of our minds, at the root of core of our spirits, we're like, we don't want to do anything unless God tells us to do it. I don't know if it's just the foundation that was laid. I don't know why we went that route, but we did not make any steps. We actually just waited, and that was very difficult. We waited for his wisdom to direct our paths. Sunday, September 21st, 2014, it was a mission service. Fiona was praying at the front. I was praying in my pew back where the canops are sitting. And God spoke to both of our hearts separately that it was time to push on the door of adoption that day. Remember I talked about how in the right time things seemed to click? Said this many times. That was the next year. Paperwork, if you've never seen adoption paperwork, oh my word. People invading your house, furnace checks, make sure you got fire extinguishers in every room of the house. I mean, it's not that bad, but, literally probably 40, 50 pages of paperwork and doctor's visits, and then if you don't do it right, then you got to go again, and home studies, you're on the wait list, grant applications, saving money, miraculous provisions we saw for finances by the end of August 2015, and exactly 1 year and 1 day after God said go on September 22nd, 2015, we got the call that our son was going to be born in 5 weeks. And as Paul Harvey used to say, and now the rest of the story. This is the culmination of, chapter 8 in the book we'll write someday. Maybe it's our son's name is Josiah. Maybe that'll be the title of the chapter. Write it down, babe. That's good. So as you know, our son's name is Josiah. Oh, sweet, you got that word, even though it was wrong, or you took it wrong, and so you went after that. And, that's not how it actually happened. We hadn't decided on Josiah when we found out that we were going to adopt and stuff. We hadn't made a decision yet, and we liked Josiah, and you guessed it, we liked Malachi. And those were the two names that we were considering. And so a week or two after his birth mother had chosen us, selected us, we had a phone conversation with her and the social worker just to have that personal touch and really have that communication to start off things. And in that phone call, she randomly asks, hey, by the way, do you know what you're going to name him? Because I'm assuming you're going to name him because we were going to get him right away after birth. And so we told her, well, we're considering two names. And we like both Josiah and Malachi. And there was a pause on the other end of the phone. And then his birth mom said, if I had decided to keep him, I wanted to name him Josiah. God had given Fiona a prophetic promise 3 years earlier. In our desire to have a child, we misunderstood his plan. We didn't have the wisdom to see his timing at that point. But God knew that there was going to be a brave, courageous young lady who would carry her son to birth and give him up for adoption and who would want to call her son Josiah. It was going to happen, just not like we thought, and not in our timing. Let me repeat something I said earlier. We must walk in God's timing, and we need wisdom to wait for it. Wisdom to wait for it. You know, so maybe it's not a struggle in your life or a hurt or a pain. Maybe it's a ministry that there is a timing issue in our lives. We may feel a strong desire to step out and embrace our calling in a specific ministry opportunity. While God and our leaders may appreciate our zeal, the timing may not be right. We may need to cultivate our gifts and exercise patience. In fact, there are many who have talked about their initial disappointment at not being able to participate in a particular ministry at a certain time, but then later on, God opens the door, the right door for them to in his timing. And then as they look back with 2020 vision, often those folks tell of realizing how unprepared they really were until God gave them a season to learn more and enhance their gifts. Grow where you are planted. Grow where you're planted. If you're on a support team and not leading at right now, learn everything you can. Support as best you can. Let God grow you as much as you can. Don't push God's timing for your leadership opportunity. Let God open the door. Just thinking about my own journey, and as I stand here as administrative pastor, I never thought that would happen. I was just a college kid who one day, I hadn't graduated yet. It was during the summer. And I felt the call of God to get involved with youth ministry. I was just so burdened. And I didn't know how. How's that going to happen? And literally the very next Sunday, the youth choir director steps down. And a week later, they asked me to step in to take that. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, I could do music. Those were some good days. We had some good times. And then God just opened doors. You know, there is something to be said for striving and pushing and being proactive and trying to grow yourself. And there's something that also is about waiting for God and letting him open the doors. I never once asked to be on the youth team, but they needed to someone to be on the youth team. So I was like, all right, well, I'm already helping with young people in the choir, so sure. And then they needed a youth leader, and I was like, Lord, help me. What's this all about? Yeah, some of you, Lord, help me. Oh, geez, I'm teasing. And then I became youth pastor, and then it's, you know, I got the call like, hey, you don't have your license. Nope, I don't. I don't need it. Why don't I need a ministerial license? I don't preach. I don't, you know, I'm not just a youth leader. It's like, well, our section youth leader is stepping down. I'm like, okay, and? Well, you need a license to be it. I'm like, okay, you got 6 weeks to do everything. That was old school. Y'all doing licensing, I know it's a lot of work, but yeah, it was horrible when I was going through my time. Literally, I was falling asleep watching videos and doing the required reading, and that's why I don't remember any of it, because I was half asleep most of the time. But they licensed me anyways. They didn't quiz me about the books, thank the Lord. But no, I did read them, just joking. And then it was just walking through doors, letting timing happen, being faithful. And this is nothing about me. I've seen it played out, this lesson, in my own life. And I literally look back and like, I didn't ask for this, God. Yeah, but you were available. You were willing. What do you need me to do, Pastor? That should be the question. If you're not involved right now, you need to ask that question. Well, I'm not going to do it unless I'm heading something. Well, maybe you just need to just grow and sit under someone who's 20 years younger than you and learn and be humbled. And then God was like, all right, Phil Demas can take it from Jordan Powell, who's head of sound, and Phil Demas is a sound tech. And so, okay, good job, Phil. You've passed that test. Now I'm going to open up a door. And one day someone, you know, God's going to give a word to Roy. Like, why is Phil Demas still sitting as a sound tech under Jordan Powell? Phil Demas is 43 years old. Like, he should be doing more. Hey, Phil, why don't you, you know, come and help usher and lead the ushers, because we need a new usher, because Ward is off retired hunting every weekend, you know? He's hunting today. And so then it's just a natural, because you prove yourself faithful and you wait for the timing of the Lord. Amen. That was not in my notes, but I just felt the Lord. We need to wait for timing. Amen. There is something to be said for getting ourselves involved and showing ourselves, and not like, well, I'm just going to wait for the Lord. No, get involved in what you can. Put your hands to work. Amen. Amen. When we think about right timing in the Christian life, we can look to Jesus as an example. I mean, think about it. At 12 years old, he was talking in the temple and really with excellence with the leaders of the synagogue. You think maybe that's when he would have started his ministry. Nope. maybe 18 years old or 21 years old. That's our thought. Oh, now he's an adult. Nope. He waited till he was in his 30s. Why? Scripture doesn't really say. As far as maybe Brother Seidel knows it, it says it. But all of a sudden it was like, okay, it's time. Guys, we're at a wedding. Have him change the water. Yeah, it's time for him to start. Mom like kicked him out. I'm sick of him at being at home. So come on, Jesus, out of the house. Why? We don't know why, but he needed to be prepared. And he needed to wait. Even Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, needed the perfect timing for that. Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. That scripture highlights the importance of timing. Amen. A great deal of history had to occur before the fullness of time could be reached and God could send forth his son at just the right time. We look at history, the destruction of the temple by the Babylonians, and then King Nebuchadnezzar, they are exiled. And then the Persians come, then the Romans and the Greeks, and all these things had to happen and arise to pave the way for Christ. He could have just chosen any time, but no, it's like when the fullness of time, when the perfect time, okay, now it's time to robe myself in flesh and go to earth. How powerful of a lesson about the timing and power of God. And that should help us exercise patience. That, you know what, your passion or your desire, it might not be wrong. And that might be what God wants. But right now might be the wrong time. And if we push on that door too quickly, too fast, you may fail because we may fail because it's not the right time. And it's not that it's a bad thing, but it's just not the right time. The elements have not been cultivated to the right thing, to the right place. Heaven awaits in the next life, but a great harvest is coming in this life. We must continue to patiently labor to achieve all God has for us in due season. The nurturing aspects of being in the right place allows for solid growth. At the right season, the righteous produce fruit. We're known by the fruits we bear. Therefore, we must be patient and diligent. In Galatians 6:9, Paul warned us of losing heart or even going so far as to give up. He says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. It's an encouragement to the Janesville work. Don't be weary because no one is maybe responding the way you think. It may take time for that cultivation. Maybe your neighbor just needs some more cultivation. We've heard stories of husbands who it took years and years and years and years for them to come to God. But eventually they did. I think about Jordan's grandpa, Grandpa Poplowski. Prayed for years for that man. Close to my mom for way back in the day. And finally, in due season, why was it time? We don't know. But in due season, those answers came to fruition. So we just can't give up. We just got to keep steadfast. We got to keep waiting and being patient in God. Far too many have run the race only to stop at the last turn, allowing spiritual exhaustion to overcome them. If only they had rounded the bend to see the finish line in sight, then they would have finished strong. Some, on the other hand, failed to even begin the race. We think about Felix, the governor, in Acts 24:25. Paul's talking with him and says, now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, this is Paul, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. When it's a convenient time, when it's a time that I've made that decision that it's good for me. He never called Paul, according to Scripture. We don't have that reference. Never started the race. It's a cautionary tale about missing out on God's timing. If you're here this morning, you haven't repented, you haven't been baptized in Jesus' name, you haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking other tongues, today is a day of salvation. I want to encourage you, don't wait. If you've never been baptized, let's have a conversation today. Let's show you in Scripture about baptism and how to do it according to Scripture. Amen. We must, as we follow the plan of salvation, patiently trust God's timing for our lives. Amen. We may have a desire to jump into ministry, but we must trust God's perfect timing. We can witness to our friends in the meantime. We can share our testimony with them. We can invite them to church. We can have a Bible study. We can just be that friend and disciple them. We need time for them to grow in grace and knowledge of the Word of God before we move and stuff like that. And as well as us, we have to have that time to grow. The more we grow, the more able we're able to enter new areas of ministry. Amen. Amen. Those who have served God for a long time, for a while, have learned the importance of God's timing. Their walk with God likely includes stories of becoming impatient, almost missing the will of God. Talk, if you're in that boat, find an elder in this church and talk to them. Ask them that question. Tell me about a time that you were impatient and you found out, like, oops, I made a mistake. I pushed the time. I had a situation in the past couple of years where that was invaluable to me in my decision-making and really helped me. It was that wisdom of God through a brother in Christ as they related their story of, well, here's what I did when I was younger, and here's the doors that I pushed on. And I realized it was really just me. And so if you're not feeling the Lord leading, don't push on this door. And don't go this route. And it was invaluable to me to have that voice in my life. Amen. I'm not going to trust that clock because I can't see that far. Soon and very soon we'll be able to see, hopefully. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let me read this last story. He dragged himself out of bed before dawn, grabbed his gloves and pails, headed to work. A kind neighbor had seen his plight and allowed him to earn some much-needed money in a blackberry patch after being laid off from a solid-paying job in the coal mines. The early awakening required him to override a body clock that was used to working second shift. Only a few months earlier, he had been going to bed closer to the time he now awoke to drive to his destination. He parked the car and began the long walk down to the blackberry patch, careful to watch out for snakes and other vermin that might impede or totally derail his progress. He breathed in the dew riding on the morning and knowing that the heat and humidity would soon make the day unbearable. In a small amount of daylight, he weaved his way around each branch, gathering handfuls of tasty berries while attempting to avoid the treacherous thorns that tried to latch onto his fingers. The work was difficult, but the rewards would be great. Blackberry cobbler, blackberry jam, and maybe even a little money to help out the family. Picking the blackberries served as a metaphor for his life. He had tasted the sweetness life had to offer. He had a good wife, two young children, but the thorns of being laid off hurt. They hurt his pride. He was used to working. While he appreciated those who helped his family by providing food, clothes, and a love offering, he wanted to make it on his own. As he picked and picked some more, he wondered what the future held for his family. His thoughts offered many possibilities, but no clear answers. Thankfully, his task allowed him or helped him to feel better because he was doing something positive. Eventually, the sun did make the process unbearable, and he gathered his bounty to return to the car. And as he walked, he felt the Lord telling him to patiently trust in his timing. The present seemed bleak, the future highly uncertain, but just as God sent those blackberries at this particular season in his life, he would send other blessings. The family would weather the storm of joblessness. They would remain faithful to God, not only paying the tithe on the meager earnings from the blackberries, but also using some of the money to send the kids to church camp. The decision would yield a great harvest in the future as the oldest son accepted the call of God to ministry. Later, one of his granddaughters did as well. Faithfulness in the tough times yield a great reward in the future. The man was thankful he had trusted in God's timing, even when it did not make sense. Amen. Here to encourage you that there is wisdom in the wait. Amen. There's wisdom in the wait. And if you're in a season of waiting, a season of silence, a season of uncertainty, seek after the Lord, be faithful to him, and get his wisdom to know what steps to take. Because you don't want to push on the wrong door. You don't want to go down the wrong path. You want to be faithful to God, and he will bless. He will open. He will provide. He'll take care because wisdom is there in the wait. Would you stand with me? Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. And then y'all can pick up your children. Yes, you do have to pick them up. Amen. Once again, I have not gotten the word that they're keeping them. Any day now, maybe we'll get that promise, but just joking. Just joking. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. We thank you, Jesus, so much, God. Thank you for this month talking about wisdom, God, godly wisdom, God. Wisdom to know how to apply the knowledge that we have. Wisdom to know where to go, what to do. And Lord Jesus, in today's lesson, what timing, God. God, Lord, sometimes that means waiting. Waiting for you to open doors. Waiting for you to provide. Waiting for you to give an answer, God. And help us, Lord God, if there's someone here this morning, God, I pray let this message just stir their spirit and encourage them, God. That, Lord God, you are faithful. You are true. Even if you are silent, God, and there doesn't seem to be a way, that you are working, God. That you are moving, God, and we're just waiting for the right timing, God. Cultivate our hearts and spirits, God. Cultivate the season that we're in, God, each one of us, Lord God, and help us to wait on you in your wisdom, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Go get those beautiful children. Amen. Greet someone if you don't have children. Go shake hands, high five, head bunt. Go tell them which World Cup team is going to win. Amen. God bless y'all. We'll be going to the word of the Lord and worship here in few minutes.